Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to be into the house of the Lord. Amen. We thank God for all of you in your respective places. Give honor to all. The honor is due. We just thank God for being here. It's you know, it's a blessing. You know, you can look around and say, where is everybody? And, you know, there's only a handful of people, but for what it is right now, I thank God for the handful of people. You know, I look forward to seeing you all, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Amen. And I think it's a blessing when we get here and we actually can exchange pleasantries and say hello and give each other a hug and tell each other we love each other and just encourage each other in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes your week goes differently when you don't start it out in church. Amen. Because as we say all the time, life is hard all by itself, but when you're not in the right mindset, when you're not in the right place spiritually, when you're not in the right, you know, it becomes even harder. So regardless of what's going on in your life, it's always a beautiful thing to start the week off in church. Amen. In the house of God. Not just because you can say I went, but because you got around family. Amen. And we glean from each other. Amen. We're going to go to the 50th Psalm. And I thank God for being saved today and on the Lord's side. I thank God for his goodness and mercy, his grace, his love and his kindness to me. Amen. He's a great God, and he keeps on doing great things. You know, I struggled a little bit with what I was going to talk about today because I don't like, generally, I kind of have gotten in my mind that I don't like to preach seasonal messages, I guess. You know what I mean? It's Thanksgiving week, and, you know, it's, and I kept saying to God, I don't want to speak about Thanksgiving. I want to speak about something else. And he just kept bringing me back to Thanksgiving. As you know, you can fight with him all you want, but you don't win in the end. You know, I gave him many good, what I thought was many good. I'm dealing with a veteran crew here that knows a lot about Thanksgiving. I don't need to remind them to be thankful, and you know, we got that message. Amen. But you know, you wonder as much as we do know. And as much as we have heard over the years, many times what we know and what we've heard doesn't translate in our everyday lives when we're in the midst of it, in the throw of it. Amen. So we got to remind ourselves, and we have to put certain things in place to help us to do what we know is right. Amen. Amen. And have you ever asked yourself, what does God want from me? What do you want from me, God? What do you want from me? And that's basically what I want to talk about today. What do you want from me, God? And a lot of times, what we think, because we could ask that same question of each other, you know, what do you want from me? And a lot of times we ask that question and we have ideas of what you want from me. Like, I got it in my mind what you want from me, but that may not be what you really want from me. You know, my idea of what you want from me may be different than your idea. So it's important, if you're going to ask somebody, what do you want from me? It's important for you to listen to what they want from you. Amen? Amen. So when we think about that question for a moment, what does God want from me? You might be interested to find out that the one thing he doesn't want. Usually when someone comes to us telling us they want something from us, we ask ourselves the question, how much is it going to cost? What's it going to cost me to give you what you want? Amen? Well, let me begin by telling you that God does not, I repeat, does not want or need your money. Amen? The church does. That's not in my notes, but I just put that in there. The church does need your money. Amen? And we don't like to talk about money in church, but it's common sense to realize that we're in a big old place, and y'all complain when it's cold in here, and you don't like it when it's too dark in here. Amen? And you don't like it when there's only a handful of us in here. We complain that there's not enough people, it's cold, all these different things, and all that stuff costs money. Amen? It costs money to run this building. It costs money to do ministry. It costs money to do outreach. It costs money to do these things. So while God doesn't need or want your money, the church does need it. Amen? I just threw that in there. But let's go to Psalm 50. And in Psalm 50, at the beginning, it talks about God being the judge of the righteous and the wicked. And starting, I want to just start at the seventh verse. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, no male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." And then it goes on to say what he has for the wicked. But when you think about God, he owns everything there is to own. He has everything there is to have. He needs nothing. Amen? He needs nothing from you. Many times we ask ourselves the questions, or we ask God, what can I give to you? What can I give to somebody who has everything? And all God really desires from us is an attitude of gratitude. Amen? To be thankful. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. You know, a lot of times we say things, well, if it's God's will, I'll be there. If it's God's will, I'll do this. Well, one thing we do know is God's will. It's his will for us to be thankful. Amen? He wants us to trust him completely. Amen? You see, a lot of what goes on in our lives A lot of things come at us from different directions. Some things we bring upon ourselves. Some things just happen. And it's just a whole ball of things that go on day to day to challenge us in every which way. And the enemy is always dealing somehow, some way in our lives through fear and doubt. Fear and doubt. Somehow, some way, he's trying to get you off of your game, trying to get you out of the race for a little while, trying to get you off your where you need to be spiritually through fear and doubt. And when he's coming at you through fear and doubt, that's where your trust gets tested. Whose report will you believe? Amen? Whose report will you believe? Now, although there is nothing that God needs, there are some things that God wants and desires and deserves. But before you get tensed up about that, it will amaze you how little God desires compared to how much he deserves. Amen? Amen? It will amaze you how little it really takes to please God. What you will find, and many people can't fathom this, is it's much easier to please God than it is your brother and sister sitting next to you. Think about that for a minute. It's much easier to please God than to please your brother or your sister. Amen. God wants me to be thankful. Offer to God thanksgiving. It sounds very simple, but I discovered that there is a great emphasis on the attitude of gratitude in the Word of God. God wants all of his people always to be thankful in all things. Notice I said in all things. Because as I say all the time, sometimes it's hard to be thankful for some things. Amen? Something bad happens to you, you're not thankful that you're not thankful for it, but you can be thankful in it. So you have to ask yourselves these questions throughout the day when things are coming at you and some things are hard and negative, and you have to ask yourself the question, what can I find to be thankful in this situation? Speak to my heart, Lord. Tell me what you want me to learn in this situation. We tend to find it much easier to complain rather than be thankful. Amen? Many of us have gotten on the phone from time to time and called somebody and complained for a good half hour, 45 minutes. But when's the last time you got on the phone with somebody and actually talked about your blessings for a half hour, 45 minutes? It's easy for us to complain. It's easy for us to look at the situation for what it is and feel sorry for yourself. Or to ask, why me? But God wants us to be thankful. Amen? The Bible gives us so many reasons to be thankful. First of all, we ought to be thankful for the goodness of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for what? He is good. For his mercy endures forever. Amen? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The Bible says you cannot be saved without repentance. But did you know that repentance is caused by the goodness of God? Paul said to the Christians at Rome, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Amen. Oh, give thanks, for the Lord, he is good. His mercy endureth forever. We ought to be thankful for the grace of God. No one in this congregation What I'm trying to say is we've heard enough. Not enough. We've heard plenty about grace here. Amen? And it's a blessing. It really is, because you don't hear about grace as much in other places. And grace is such a key component to this life that we live. And it's such a, you know, you see, it's hard. If you're trying to live this life without grace, without understanding grace, it's going to be very difficult. Because you're always going to run up against the law, and the law always wins. So it's a blessing that we know as much as we do about grace. And I didn't want to say enough, because I want to keep hearing more about grace. We haven't heard enough of grace. I want to keep hearing more, but we've heard plenty, and that's a blessing. Amen? Because it frees you. There are so many people in churches that are in bondage. And that doesn't make sense, because the one place you should be free is in the house of God. Amen? The one place where you can find love, and you can find grace, and you can find mercy, and you can find, it's in the house of God. But yet there are so many Christians, and it's so sad, that go to church Sunday after Sunday, they go to weeknight services, and they're in bondage. But the grace of God, it frees you. And it's not about saying you can do what you want because we have the grace. No, it brings Romans 8:1 into life to us, that there is therefore now no condemnation. Amen? You are free because of the grace of God, because he loved you so much. Amen? And what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. But thank God for the grace of God. That's something to be thankful for. Every day. Amen? The grace of God. We ought to be thankful for the guarding of God. We ought to be thankful for the way God protects us from day to day. Amen? Some of us today have testimonies of how we've been in accidents, or we've been in situations that have happened, and God spared our lives, and God saved us in that situation. Some of us in here have that testimony. But guess what? That's just what you know about. There's so many things that God has kept you from that you don't even know about. You know that time when you took a left and you didn't know why? You know that time when you were going to go that way, but you decided at the last to go this way? You all those times, you don't know all the things that God has kept you from. All the things that God has protected you from. You know about the things that you experienced. But there's so many other things that he has kept you from. Sometimes we have to go to the doctor. Sometimes we have to go to the hospital. Sometimes we have to do those things. We hate doing it, but we have to. Amen? But look at the time and this, you know, all the time that went by when you didn't have to do any of those things. Amen? He guards us. He protects us. Amen? We ought to be thankful for the guidance of God. The next time you complete a project at work, the next time you finish writing a term paper, the next time you finish building a home, next time you finish working on something that you've been doing, you ought to thank God for his guidance. Amen? It wasn't just you. When Nehemiah built the wall, he was quick to thank God for what he had done. Amen? When God guided Daniel to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, therefore saving his life, saving the life of his people, and elevating him to the second highest position in all the land, Daniel said, "I thank you and I praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the king's demand." We ought to be thankful for the greatness of God. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Did you know that everything that God does in you, through you, and for you is to cause you to be thankful? For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So no matter what, be thankful. I know you know that already. I know you've read the scriptures. I know you've heard the messages. I know you could teach the message or preach the message. But when you get in that tough spot this week, will you remember that? When your family aggravates you this week, will you remember that? When you start stressing about what you're going to do on Thursday and what you got to get at the store and how you're going to put it all together and what's going to happen and is it going to go right and who's coming and who's not coming and who's the... Are you going to be thankful? Are you going to be thankful? Are you going to, at the end of the day, are you going to say, you know what, the food is great, the company is great, but I'm just thankful to God because he's so good to me. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that he has given me, he's given us a house to live in. He's given us food on the table. He's given us friends. Are you going to be thankful for those things? Are you going to stress about how it came out, who showed up, who didn't show up, the ones that did show up, why did they say what they said? And he always ruins it every time he comes, and this didn't come out right, and I'm so glad it's over. Can't wait till the holidays is over. Because it brings so much stress. I got to deal with this one and that one. And she's got my sister and she wants us to come over here. And I don't really want to go over there, but we go over there every year. So we got to go over there. That's what we do. Instead of just saying, man, God is so good. We can be thankful in all things. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, once was robbed at night, and after he was robbed, he prayed this prayer. He said, "Dear God, I thank you first because I've never been robbed before. Secondly, he said, they took all my money, but they did not take my life, so I'm thankful for that. Thirdly, he says, they took everything I had, but it wasn't much. And fourthly, he said, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Amen? How many of us would have that same prayer after getting robbed? Amen? It seems too good to be true. Amen? But you know, that's kind of, you know, as a side note, I saw, they got a movie out now about Mr. Rogers. Y'all remember Mr. Rogers? Y'all remember Mr. Rogers? You don't have to feel, you don't have to be embarrassed that you, you know. Huh? Yeah. Wonderful day, and beautiful day in the neighborhood. Amen. Well, they got a movie out about him right now. And I watched it last night. Amen. And it's funny how we look at things now, because my son's friend, after seeing this, he's like, he's creepy. He said, that guy's creepy. He's got to be a pedophile. He's got to be, you know, there's just something wrong with that guy. That guy's weird. And you know, I thought about it and I said, nowadays, it's hard for us to deal with someone who's kind and loving and mindful of your feelings instead of their own feelings. We don't deal with that very well. The first thing I thought about, you know, I gotta go look at Wikipedia. I gotta go look at something on this guy. There's gotta be something that he's done. He can't be that good. Amen? And I just thought about it, and I thought about the fact that it's much easier for us to accept crazy people than it is to accept someone who's really kind and nice. And we just can't believe that could, you know. Yeah. So I just thought about that when I thought about John Wesley's prayer there. God wants me to be thankful. He wants me to be truthful. Amen. He wants me to be trustful. As much as we want him to be there when we need him, he wants to be able to depend on us also. Amen. He wants to be able to depend on us when there's someone that needs an encouraging word, when there's someone that needs a phone call, when there's someone that needs a hug, when there's a situation that needs to be addressed. He wants to be able to depend on us, to not be caught up in our own feelings and our own stuff and our own junk, and be and see with his eyes what needs to be done. Amen? He wants us to call upon him in the day of trouble. You ought to be in such tip-top spiritual condition that when trouble comes, your first reaction is faith and not fear. Faith and not fear. It tells me of the assurance of trouble. The Bible says, yet man is born to trouble, and as the sparks fly upward. If you are a human being, you are going to have trouble. You are either in the middle of it, or you're just coming out of it, or you're headed to it. Trouble is a way of life. Troubles are inevitable. Into every life, some rain must fall. Jesus had troubles also. The Bible says about Jesus in Isaiah 53:3 that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He didn't escape it, and neither will you. He didn't evade it, and neither will you. He did not eliminate it, and neither will you. Troubles are a fact of life. Christians are no more immune to troubles than they are to anything else. Christians lose their jobs. Christians get cancer. Christians face all the different things that the world faces. But there's a difference when you have God on your side. Because with God on your side, you have hope in the midst of your troubles. Amen? You are not in this thing alone. You are not going through it alone. You have God right there by your side, just like when they threw the boys into the fiery furnace and they threw in three and they saw four. Amen? Just like Jesus Christ was with them, he is with you throughout whatever troubles come your way. But in everything that happens to us, we have choices to make. We can choose to be fearful or we can choose to be faithful. We can choose to complain and we can choose to be thankful. We can choose to doubt or we can choose to trust. Amen? We can choose to be angry or we can choose to love. We can choose to forgive or we can choose to hold on to it. And forgiveness is such an important thing for us. Amen? Many of us suffer because we have yet to let it go. And let me tell you something about forgiveness real quick. You think that forgiveness is you freeing that other person. Well, actually, forgiveness is freeing you. It's actually freeing you. You think you have the power over that other person, whether or not you forgive them or not, but actually, when you forgive them, you free yourself. Because then you can get all that that's harbored, you know, deep down on the inside that causes anger to boil up in you and causes, you know, all those emotions that you don't like about yourself to come out in you. You can free yourself of all that. You can let it go. And what helps us do that is understanding that we ourselves needed that same forgiveness. Amen? Well, I didn't do what he did to me, or I didn't do what she did to me. No. But without God's forgiveness, you could not be saved. You would be lost. Amen? All of us need forgiveness. Troubles are a fact of life. Troubles happen to everyone. But the choices you make in the situations will help you with your troubles. God will deliver you out of all of your troubles. Amen? There's nothing too hard for God. We need to remember what Psalm 150 says, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty expense, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him when the trumpet sounds, praise him with the harp and the lyre, praise him with the timbrel and dancing, praise him with stringed instruments and pipe, praise him with loud cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you don't have nothing else but to say, I'm still breathing, praise the Lord. Amen? You could have troubles this high, but if you're still breathing, you got reason to praise the Lord. And understand that troubles don't come to stay, they come to pass. And many of us have been through many troubles already in our lives that we've already come over or through the other side. And then we look back on those troubles now, yeah, it hurt. Yeah, we didn't like it. We didn't like to go through it. But we all learned something from it. We're all better for it. We're all stronger through it. Amen? When you have God on your side, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Yeah, your life's not perfect. Yeah, your family's not perfect. Yeah, your money's not perfect. Yeah, your health's not perfect. Yeah, all those things. But God is yet good. God is yet great. God is keeps on doing great things that we don't deserve. Amen? Because if he only blessed us when we did the right thing, we'd be in big trouble. But he blesses us when we're complaining. He blesses us when we're down in the dumps. He blesses us while we're going through all our mess. But he tries to enlighten us and say, hey, look, it's really not about you. I know you think it is. But it's really not about you. Get up. Give glory to God. Give praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. Find something to be thankful for. Find something to be thankful in. Take the spotlight off yourself and pray for somebody else. God is a good God. He protects us. He loves us. He forgives us. He has mercy on us. He gives us grace. He does all these wonderful things for us. All that he asks is that we trust him and that we have an attitude of gratitude. That's all. Just believe him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Just believe what he says. Trust him and have an attitude of gratitude. You'll find that it's a much better life to be thankful. Amen? We could all talk about what we don't have. We could all talk about what we wish was better. We could all talk about how we wish, you know, these certain situations weren't going on, but we can all also talk about how good God's been to us and how thankful we are for all the things that we do have. Amen. So as we go into the holidays, try not to be so stressed by family, by getting ready for everything, and just go about your business and have an attitude of gratitude. And that's why these songs are so important, because while we're preparing for these holidays, we can be singing these songs while we're cooking, while we're doing everything we do. And you know what? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And at the end of the day, people are going to go to their all to their respective places, and it's going to be you and God again. Amen. Trust him. Have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Let us stand.